Welcome to another edition of the Odyssey Radio Show. I'm your host, Mike Schultz, and we go live each Monday at 8 p.m. We talk about metaphysical and mystical topics from all around the world. And tonight I've brought a friend on the show. Her name is Sandy Buchanan.
This is Dr.
And later in the show, she will be channeling Archangel Michael. So this is a really exciting event. I've actually never had a live channeling on the air, so I definitely wanted to do that. So welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So we're both up here in the Northwest, and we're always doing psychic fairs and all kinds of great events, but I really wanted to get you on the radio. So I want to ask you about your childhood. I understand that at a young age, you realized you had some metaphysical gifts, didn't you?
I did. I knew from an early age I was adopted, and we used to go back to Rhode Island to visit family, and I went to see a favorite aunt who everyone said she's passing away, and they didn't want me to go. I was only 13, and there was something prompting me. Voices kept saying, you need to go. You need to be there. And so I joined some other family members and went to the facility where she was at, and she became totally coherent after 4 years in a coma and spoke to me. And then after everyone else left, she held my hand, and I knew she was going to go. I felt her spirit leave, and we had a wonderful connection. And I just saw angels everywhere and thought, I wonder if everybody sees this.
Nope, just you.
Yeah. So,
so that was your first powerful experience. And yeah. How did it develop through your high school years and into your 20s? What kind of experiences did you have?
Well, I was the one that was always, you know, somebody would call, I knew who it was. I would feel when somebody was ill, and I would go see what I could do to help them. And I was also, at a very young age, not highly into doctors, and I didn't understand what I was hearing from the angels about how powerful we are as people, and we can heal ourselves. And so I learned to listen. And I helped quite a few people cross over. It would be the right time. The angels would send me. And I have the gift of being able to help people connect with those that are going to be left behind so that everyone can verbalize the things they need to. And the one crossing can cross with none of their earthly stuff left lingering and bothering them.
Now, is that what causes a so-called ghost to appear? Is that a person who has unfinished business and they are so-called haunting a house or something they want to communicate still?
Yes. I not only believe that, but I have experienced that. In fact, I work out of a wonderful shop in Vancouver, Washington, called Celestial Awakenings. And just last week, I had a woman come in, and she was quite freaked out because some different things were happening in the house. And I looked behind her and I said, who brought in the spirit of an 8-year-old boy who was very brutally murdered and is trying to connect with your son? And she looked at me and she said, well, my partner came from somewhere and we've been trying to figure this out. So I looked into it, asked the angels, asked the spirit that had crossed why he was there, and apparently this woman's son was his twin in another lifetime, and so he needed to connect with him. Their contract was such that when they connected in this one, he could then cross over.
I see.
So it was pretty interesting.
So, you know, up in Portland here where we're at, there's a lot of hotels and restaurants with ghost stories, and they usually do trace it back to some kind of murder or some kind of terrible situation. So that would be an instance of someone suddenly leaving the earth plane and they're not ready then, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have you helped some of these ghosts realize that they've passed on and to move on to the astral plane? Or?
Yes, I have. That's probably not one of the things that is my, I don't want to say not my strength, but I don't come across it all the time.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't done that as much as I have actually helping people who are ready to cross, know they're ready to cross, and need some assistance.
I see.
The ones that I seem to connect with the most.
Now, I'm sure you've worked with families who have had loved ones passed on, and they really want to communicate one more time. Can you tell us some anecdotes, perhaps, about that?
It's pretty funny. I've had people come to me, and I'll go, you're not paying attention. You have an aunt who you don't want to connect with, and she's been moving your car keys around your house, and you found them in the freezer one day, didn't you? And the person just looked at me like, how did you know? That was her? Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean, I've been getting really clear messages. One young lady came to me who I'd never met before, knew nothing about her, and I stopped and I said, oh, my goodness, you need to have some fun in life. You've got a whole peanut gallery of spirits behind you, and you've got one redhead who was your friend when you were children, and you aren't even aware that she's passed, and she wants you to have fun while you still can. And it was a very clear message, and the woman just burst out crying, and she knew exactly who the friend was.
Wow, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask if it's common for these spirits to move around household objects, because I had a cousin pass away at a very young age, at 27. And the day of his funeral, I had car keys sitting right next to me, and they were gone, just gone that day. And I'm wondering if that was some kind of trying to communicate or something.
That's what it feels like. And, yes, that's very, very common, because we seem to think, as human beings, from our beliefs and the way we're taught, that once a spirit is crossed, they're gone from our realm of communication. And unless they can get through to us, we don't know. I had an 80-year-old woman down on the coast of Oregon who wanted to pass away. She was on my aura imaging system, and you could see that she was all in spirit and ready to go to the other side. And I looked at her, and I said, you're not paying attention to the messages on your computer. And she started crying. She goes, that's my husband, isn't it? I go, yeah, he's trying to communicate. And I found out he had just passed away 2 months earlier and was trying to tell her with little love messages on the computer that it wasn't her time.
I see. So have you had situations where you've actually passed on final messages to family members?
Yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Anything you can share, you know, anonymously or...
I have had some powerful messages from everything to I'll be all right, but I want you to take care of your diet, or I want you to think about this person you're with because they're killing you. You know, I mean, they're very strong and very clear messages.
Right, like final warnings, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems to be the strongest thing when someone's crossing over. They're not worried about themselves.
Oh.
They know they're going, but they're concerned about their loved ones and the poor choices or the lifestyles. And I've even had one woman tell me, oh, my gosh, I forgot to tell my kids where I've hidden all my papers and my money. We need to do
really?
It. Really?
So she actually told you and they actually found it?
Yep.
They amazing. Did. That proves it's real.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they weren't even in this state.
Amazing. Now, tell me a little bit. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it is. It's totally amazing.
Right. Tell me a little bit about spirit guides. Do you believe each human being has one main guide throughout their whole lives, or are there different angels that come and go? How does it work?
My belief is that we have different guides that are pretty much with us during our life, but they become more predominant as we need them. I have worked with various people in the last 25 years, and sometimes I'll see a Native American spirit guide. Sometimes the next time they come in, it will be Archangel Metatron, who's been doing a lot of work helping people protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And other times it will be a certain animal guide. And when people are not hearing their animal guides, it's quite interesting because all I'll do is say, you've been seeing an awful lot of eagles lately, and has something been fluttering at the back of your neck that you want to scratch? And every single time they'll look at me and go, yeah, what is that?
Oh.
and it's just those energies trying to get through in a way that we will experience and understand.
So if we observe a certain animals appearing all of a sudden, it may be, you know, some type of message that's trying to get through.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Birds in particular?
Birds in particular seem to do that. I had a woman that moved out here recently from Indiana, and all of a sudden she's going, "What's going on? I keep seeing these birds." I said, "Oh, the ravens?" And she and I said, "Well, they're trying to get you pointed in the right direction instead of making all these irrational choices that you're doing out of fear." And
I see.
Once she changed that, then she still saw them, but they were only occasional, and they would just kind of fly over nicely instead of bombarding her, basically.
Okay, now what about perhaps a mystery person who will kind of walk up to you, maybe in a restaurant or something, and just say something, and then just kind of fade away? And what about these types of occurrences?
I think there's two different things. If no one else sees them, I believe that we have had an encounter with a spirit who's crossed over. Other times and instances, I believe that there's a recognition on a very deep soul level, and that person just crosses your path at that point in time.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's for a reason, you know, it's to get you to pay attention to something.
So we just have to be aware as we go through our day of these possible occurrences, then.
Yes. Think about the people that you meet in these occurrences. If you really reflect on your life and you look at them, look at what was going on. And most every time in my own life, most especially, I notice it, but it's a mirror of the issue that I'm going through. And the people that come to me, the clients, sometimes I'll sit there and go, "Wow, this is a strong message for me. Not just this person, but for me. I need to pay attention."
Right. And one thing I've noticed, those of us on a metaphysical path, is we're really sort of tuning into nature and people and the environment. And it's kind of sad to me when I see people with iPods in their ears all day long, or always playing music, or always on the computer. I think they're missing out on some of these occurrences.
I agree totally. I think we've lost a lot of our wonderful connections, and in doing so, we're also damaging the earth.
Right, and I think one thing people can do is go out into nature. If you need some direction, just go on a nature walk for a few hours, and usually you'll get some kind of message or sign, I think.
I agree.
Absolutely. So we're going to have you channel Archangel Michael in a little bit, but first let's talk about the four archangels and how each of them can help us.
Okay. Well, I work mainly with Michael, and Michael is very, I love his humor, and he's very point blank. He doesn't mince words, and he doesn't beat around the bush. As some of my clients say, he slam dunks me with a brick. So I think he's wonderful for those who don't have clarity and don't want to see their blocks. I've also been working a lot with Metatron.
Okay.
Metatron tends to want to come in and ask me to present a person with his sword, and he does it in a very specific way, and then has me teach them how to use that sword to protect themselves from negative energies. And this has been happening more and more in the last probably 6 months. And I know a lot of them are feeling changes in energy.
Right. So Metatron is becoming more and more prominent then.
Yes.
All right. And what about Raphael?
Raphael is beautiful. And Raphael does not appear to me too often. And it's usually when I'm in my own physical healing crisis.
Right, he's the healer, right?
Yes, he is.
So if you're sick, and I understand he has a greenish light or a hue?
Yes, he does.
So if someone is sick or ill, they need to call out to Raphael.
Yes. And also when you call in Raphael, usually when we are, well, always when we are sick, it's a manifestation of emotional things. So ask Raphael to assign one or two extra guardian angels to you that are specific for your physical and emotional health. I've learned to be very specific with the angels, too, because if I'm not, then what I ask for is what I get sometimes, but not really what I wanted.
I'm a tarot reader. It's the same way. Very specific questions you have to ask, so I understand that. Okay, how about Gabriel?
Gabriel is the announcer. I kind of think he's like our MC. And I don't work with Gabriel as much as I do the others either. I've also been working with Uriel and Sandalphon a little bit more. They're coming in.
Right. And
they seem to be protectors as well.
Okay. So do you refer to the Doreen Virtue books? Do you like her books on angels and find them to be helpful?
I do like her books. In fact, I don't read tarot decks like you do, Mike. I tend to like the oracle decks, and my favorite deck is her fairy deck because it's so clear, so powerful, and if you do a three-card spread of mind, body, spirit, it's always right on for a person's understanding, even if they're a newbie and don't believe in any of this. I think that's wonderful.
So she has an angel deck. We'll have to look into that. Now, I know Sylvia Brown channels, and what she says is that she's completely out of it. She goes to the other side and is just unaware of everything. How do you feel when you channel?
I'm totally aware. What I don't realize, some of the people that have worked around me, is they see a change, total change in my face and a little bit different in my voice.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm always aware, and I always remember what comes through, and my belief for myself is because the people that I help and I channel for need my assistance on their path, and so for me being able to remember it, I can help them to break their blocks and help them to find out how to heal themselves.
I see. So when did you first start channeling? I mean, was it a little bit of a scary experience, or were you totally comfortable with it?
It was weird. I was comfortable, but about 5 years ago, I started a journey after my dad passed away. I helped him do that, and I purchased a biofeedback or imaging system. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I put it on a credit card and just was following, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And I was realizing as I was reading the information, you know, and watching the people, all of a sudden things would come out of my mouth that I'm like, where'd that come from? I wasn't thinking that, but every single time it was exactly what they needed to hear to catch their attention to what
Amazing.
Was going on in their lives. Yeah, it was fascinating. So I learned, okay, I need to trust this and not be afraid. And just recently I started doing some really fun things. I have a friend who's a hypnotist, and she had a particularly hard case and wanted me to come in because she was afraid he would go too far out of body during the session.
Right.
And as he was under in the hypnosis, Archangel Michael started channeling. And we just, it was dynamic because this person thought that he needed to break a particular block, and Michael asked if that was important for his soul journey, which it wasn't, and so Michael guided him tenderly to what he really needed to let go of, and it was just incredible.
So you combine hypnosis with the channeling for a really powerful effect.
Yes.
And, you know, there really is a good group of healers at Celestial Awakening. So why don't you give out that info right before we go into the channeling. It's in Vancouver, Washington. So if anyone comes up to the Northwest, they can come visit you.
Yes, absolutely. Come in there, hang out, have tea, learn how to bend spoons. We do a lot of wonderful things there. And you can find us on the web at www.celestial-awakenings.com.
And we have a nationwide audience. Are you able to do a phone reading or help people by phone?
I do quite a few phone readings. I have even done some online, which surprised me. I'll be in the middle of of Yahoo Messenger, and all of a sudden all these messages are coming through, and the person's going, "You're reading for me, aren't you?" I'm like, "Wow, yeah."
Well, we'll give out your phone number then at the end. So I'm going to have you go ahead and start getting ready to go channel Michael. And this is a metaphysical audience, so I'd like, you know, Michael to just go ahead and give us a general message and what we can do in our daily lives. So we'll kind of start with that. So just let me know when you're ready.
Okay. Michael is standing next to Ashtar. And it's
okay.
Quite interesting that he's brought Ashtar in, because you were talking about things getting closer. So.
Right. Before we went on the air, I told Sandy that I think getting closer to first direct encounters with UFOs. So I think we are going to receive a message on that tonight, actually. Close encounters of the first kind is what I meant to say.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing from Michael and Ashtar.
Okay.
Thank you for allowing us in tonight and allowing us as a team. We are so blessed to be working with the Galactic Team now. They are ever so close to you. Many of you have seen and experienced their vivid transmissions. Some of you are gathering in the Northwest next month to visit. You will have contact. We are walking amongst you, and many of you feel us now. All you will feel is love, light, and support, as if a column has arisen on your spine that is new and exciting. For you know not what is going to occur, but you do know things are changing, and we are here to help.
Now, there is an event at Mount Adams next month on 7 in July with James Gilliland. Is that the event you're talking about?
I'm getting a nod, yes.
Okay, because he's been working toward close contact. So what type of contact will it be?
Those who believe and have no fear will be invited into the ships, as Sandy was last summer. She knew nothing of what was going on and was just camping. She very kindly came out of her tent one evening and allowed me to show her our ship and communicate with her. She is one of the conduits that is helping all of you. And those of you who hear and feel also know you are one as well.
Now let me ask you, a lot of us have confusion about ETs and UFOs. We hear a lot about some of the gray aliens who abduct people against their will, and then we hear about helpful UFOs. Can you tell us about the different groups visiting the planet?
If you think about history and think in time, the dark energies that are hitting the planet are human-made from those who do not want you to believe that we can be anything but light, love, and help. We have been blocked in many areas, and we have been given a very bad name. That is why Metatron and Michael have joined forces with us and all the other angels to intensify the light and the love. And many of you are noticing that you are coming together with other like-minded people and other people who believe, as you do, that we are here to help and that we are only walking in the light. We will never harm. Anything that harms or is gray is not of the light. And many choose not to go into it. They would rather be on the dark side and live their shadow lives.
So tell me a little bit about what we can do in our daily lives. We hear so much talk about 2012. Is there going to be some kind of shift or some occurrence on that date?
That will be a beautiful shift. The world as you know it now will be gone. It will not be gone as in totally disappeared. It will be gone in a way that you do not understand totally the ascension process. There will be only love. There will be light. There will be manifestations of people helping one another, healing the earth core, healing humanity. Those dark energies which have had the earth for over 26,000 years can no longer sustain that energy. That is what 2012 is about. And the Mayans, who so many believe in their calendar that ends at that time, did not understand the raising of the consciousness of your humanity. Did that answer your question?
It does. So we have 5 years until that time. What can we be doing to help make this shift? What about the DNA activations that many people are doing?
Continue to come together in love and light. There are no boundaries. We are all one. We are all guided. Continue to spring up the healing centers and do it with much love and intensity. As you may be noticing, people are having those ideas and concepts very, very frequently. Almost everyone that you speak with wants to open one. You will soon all work together in clusters of 20 or 30 people. You will be building, you will be growing, and you will be helping people heal. The physical body must be cleansed out well for this to take place. So be very, very careful of what you put into your body. Do it with love and intention, and do what some of us would say, lighten your load.
Now, we've just gone through 5 years of a very difficult war that's been longer than World War II in the Middle East. Are you saying that the wars are going to end and we're going to shift to a new way of dealing with each other as countries?
Yes, we will. But as you know, with any great process like that, there will be some destruction. Open your heart. Do not fear. Just send it love. And know that those will be ending this perilous of times.
So it seems that a lot more people are manifesting their reality with this book, The Secret, people are all reading. Is this part of the process or the shift, more and more people learning how to manifest?
Yes, it is. They are the ones who are walking in the light. They are learning not to doubt. They are learning and reawakening that which humanity used to know.
What can you tell us about Atlantis and Lemuria? Were those actual civilizations, and why did they disappear?
Yes, they were. The negativity in those nations forced them down.
And we don't want to repeat that, so we're trying to learn the lessons.
Yes, we are.
Absolutely. So in our daily lives, another thing I see more and more of is people turning to technology, being on the computer for hours and watching hours of television and music all the time. How can we help people change and turn away from technology?
Some of the technology has carried over from Atlantean times and is here to help you to learn how to heal. The other technologies are going to be interfered with. Have you noticed the changes with Mercury and the retrograde that you have been talking about down the Earth plane? Many people are having computer crashes and breakdowns and issues. That is powerful and positive interference. You will no longer be relying on those things that are detrimental by the year 2010.
Great. Now, tell us about the crystal children and indigo children that are coming to this planet. How are they helping us?
The crystal children are beautiful. Their souls incarnate rapidly. They want to get on with life. They look at crystals and shiny things, and they know how to heal. They know how to heal the earth. They know how to help people heal. When you watch them, they will walk to those crystals and stones and bring you the exact one to balance or to heal. They are amazing. They will also help their parents and families who have not chosen to go into the higher consciousness make that change as well. The indigo children are very intuitive. They are the ones that started the raising of the consciousness and came in as early as 1945. There are many early indigos among you, and many are not aware.
I see. Now, what about the group that appears to be rejecting all of this information and they don't want to deal with UFOs or metaphysics in any way. What's going to happen to them? Will they make the shift as well, or go to another planet, or what will happen?
Some will make the shift. Some will cross over on their soul's journey to another journey. Each one has a contract. They are all different.
I see. So we have a pretty large metaphysical audience out there. What kind of general overall message can you give us and something we can take into our daily lives?
Create the positive, loving world around you that you so desire. Manifest, plant the seeds so that when consciousness arises, we come together as one and heal all.
Do you want people to call out to you directly as Michael and Ashtar and Metatron in times of need? Should we be calling you directly?
Yes. Call Metatron for protection.
Okay.
Anytime.
I know there's I'm sorry, go ahead.
Anytime you are working as a general consciousness, as a whole, you must protect your own soul. So that is why you would call on Metatron first.
Okay, and the four archangels we can call upon at any time in our general daily lives, or should we call on specific angels?
You will know. You will learn to work with the angels when you hear the whisper of which one as you go into your state of sleep at night. That angel will be the one that will guide you.
Okay, so we have to look to our dreams for clues.
Yes.
Okay, before I let you go, is there any last message you would like to tell our audience?
Well, that was a very nice, strong message, and I'd like to thank you all for allowing both Ashtar and Michael to come through. They came through totally together in that message.
Really?
Both of them were there at the exact same time, giving me the exact same message. So that was quite fascinating, and I do thank you all for allowing me to share that with you.
Now tell me a bit about Ashtar. Is he part of the ET or UFO command?
He is head of the Galactic Federation.
Okay, and tell me about this organization.
You know, Mike, I am just learning about the organization. What I saw when I met him last summer and experienced being allowed to see some of the ships and the energies was how bright they are. They walk in light white energy and the new color. I don't know if you're all aware, many of you that do color healing probably are, but so long we have been working with the violet ray, and now a new green, almost a limish malachite green, is being seen and documented, and that is coming in for healing the hearts. And I was seeing a lot of that.
Good. So we all have to visualize that kind of a lime green then.
Mm-hmm. And you'll feel it in your heart. It's a very powerful energy.
Well, it's really interesting. I've been in touch with James Gilliland on Mount Adams for a couple of years, and he's getting closer and closer and closer to a bridge of contact between humans and ETs. And I was trying to get specific with Michael, and I think he indicated they're having a big conference next month in July, and that's when contact will take place.
They are, and they're having some dynamic people there. I met a man named Alfred Webray, who wrote a book called Exopolitics. He worked with Jimmy Carter and wrote, and I don't remember the exact verbiage, but wrote something about how the government was hiding all of these things from us. And so there are going to be some dynamic people who have documented all of the things that have been seen but hidden from us.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
For those who don't know, James was led to buy a large ranch at the base of Mount Adams, and I've been out there, and I've seen UFOs on the volcano on the mountain flashing lights back and forth. Have you been up there?
Yes, that's where I was camping the same time last year that they had the conference going. I was at a little place called Forlorn Lakes, and that's when Ashtar called me out, and I was seeing things going, wow. And then I met Alfred the next week, you know, synchronicity. That was pretty amazing.
Well, I'm going to give out James' website because I want people to possibly go to this conference next month. It's eceti.org. It's eceti.org. That's eceti.org. And I know he's having a big three-day conference, but that was pretty exciting for Michael and Ashtar to talk about that.
Yeah, that was neat.
And it sounds like, you know, the Mayan calendar he's indicating is indeed accurate as to 2012, and we're getting some major changes over the next 5 years.
Yes, and so many of us are feeling and seeing, and I hear all the time, people will come to me, practitioners and clients alike, going, feels like everything's going in warp speed. What's going on?
Everything's speeding up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, well, does it mean that's the end of the world? But I don't sense that at all. I sense it's going to be a shift or a change, and there's a group that may not make that change, and there's a group of us that will.
Right.
There's a group of us that are ready to move on to the fourth or fifth dimension or some higher challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming pretty clear which camp people are in, I think.
I agree, yes.
I think you can tell within about 1 minute of talking to a person, you know, whether they're just open to this stuff, whether they're open to the secret and, you know, channeling and tarot cards and UFOs, or they're not. You know, it's becoming very clear.
Yes, and you know, when I was saying people are gravitating, I run a couple of networking groups out of Celestial Awakenings, and I started it out of a love of wine and wanting people to feel comfortable getting together and have card readings and things. And this was when the shop opened last September, and I had like 7 or 8 people. Now my list, Mike, is over 100 people, and I get to have it twice a month. And sometimes we have 40 people there because
Amazing. There
is such a thirst to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I encourage the metaphysical workers in our audience to go outside of your comfort zone. Like, tonight I'm going to read at a coffee house. You know, that's a pretty mainstream environment, but those people need help. You know, so try to find places out in the community and reach out to people, actually.
Yes. Yes,
and,
I was at Juan's spa the other day doing the exact same thing.
Right. I find when I do those tarot readings, I'm really making some breakthroughs. Whereas in a metaphysical store, there may not be, you know, quite the crisis issues. but it's all good. It's all helping people. So I want people to be able to contact you. Why don't you give out your phone number, if you're comfortable, or a way to contact you?
And the best way, because I'm on the road a lot, would be to find me on my mobile, which would be 360-904-7888. Or if you're more comfortable and prefer to email me, you can find me at Sandy, with an I, at radiantjourneys.net.
Well, I'm really thrilled and excited. We had this experience with the channeling. And what did you sense during Ashtar and Michael coming through your body? How did it feel?
I was shaking this time. I don't normally shake. I mean, I always get the nice little prickly kind of cool feeling, but I was shaking. It felt very, very strong and powerful, and I noticed my voice shifted and was stronger. And
right.
It was pretty amazing to me.
Right. Well, what I'm getting is with this ET contact, it's going to be the metaphysical community. We're going to be the ones who make the first contact. They're not going to land in the middle of Times Square in New York. That's too upsetting to people. They're going to contact us, those of us on the cutting edge of metaphysics. So we need to get ourselves ready.
Yes, we do. And that's why so many people are not understanding why they want to heal a physical body and clear out all the toxins and things, but that's why, because we're going into the higher vibration, and the human body's not made for that.
He mentioned that. He talked about healthier foods and cleaning up, and it's so easy to fall into junk food or something, but we really need to be aware of eating whole foods and pure foods right now.
Yes.
So that was a good reminder. Well, I appreciate you coming to the show, Sandy. Thank you very much. And,
well, thank you.
It was just a joy. And take care.
You also. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye, Sandy. So that was Sandy Buchanan with Celestial Awakenings in Vancouver, Washington. So a very exciting message from the Archangel Michael. And as you know, we're always open to channelers on this show and learning as much as we can about angels, because I really feel that they are always around us and helping us through the day. So we're going to shift gears here in the last 15 minutes. And there's so much news going on that's really not being covered that well in the media. So I have a couple of real good news articles I really want to bring forward. And not only do I think ET contact is close, but I think there was a pretty, you know, negative event that happened 6 years ago at 911. And I think it's about to, the truth is about to break through, to be honest with you. I think so many people in the public are learning the truth of what actually happened at 911. And when you research the subject, it's just shocking what actually happened that day. And I think there's going to be a breakthrough this year. There's a movie called Loose Change that's about to be released in the theaters. The first and second versions are available free online if you type in Loose Change in your computer. But the final edition is going to go out in the theaters. And if you thought Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth is big, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because this is going to be a huge event. About 40% of the public is now in the 911 Truth movement. And all of us are going to go to this, and it's going to be the number one movie, I can guarantee you. And I'm going to read you an article. They have some really compelling evidence that I've never heard before that they're going to bring forward in this movie. And it's Jason Burmes and Dylan Avery are the producers. And they found a person who's a government official who was in Building 7 on that morning. Now, Building 7 was never hit by an airplane. It's 47 stories high. It's a skyscraper. And yet, it collapsed later that day just like a pancake within 8 seconds. It's shocking that a building that was never hit by an airplane would just collapse like that. It was never mentioned in the official report. They did not mention Building 7 whatsoever. So they found a person who was a high-level associate of Rudy Giuliani, and in that morning, he went into Building 7, and he witnessed bombs and explosives going off in the building. He was on the 23rd floor, they were going down the stairs, and big explosions blew up chunks of the walls. At this point, he is anonymous. He will reveal himself when Loose Change 3 comes out. But all we're getting right now is just a taste of this person coming forward. And he actually saw people dead and dying in the lobby of Building 7. And that information has never come out. And once again, this was in the morning. This was when Building 1 and 2 were just getting hit with the planes. So there was no fallen debris at that point. This was before 1 and 2 had collapsed. So this article is at Infowars.com. If you go to that website, Infowars.com, they really cover 911 in depth. And this is just one of many, many, many smoking guns. You know, on the main website for BBS Radio, there's some real good 911 websites as well that point out many discrepancies. So look for this bombshell witness coming forward who was a direct witness to the explosions. And, of course, there was the janitor of the World Trade Center Building 1, Willie Rodriguez, who heard an explosion before the first plane hit in the basement. And he ran down to the basement, and many people were burned from bombs in the basement. And he helped rescue them and pull them out to safety. And his story has... It almost got told, actually, on The View with Rosie O'Donnell, but it was listed in the TV guide, but they quashed it, the networks, at the last minute, and Rosie was asked to leave The View, and his story never quite got on the air. But if you look up William Rodriguez in 911, you can definitely read his story online. The other big article about 911 is that Professor Stephen Jones, a professor of physics, has come forward with some new samples he's tested in the lab. And he's found that thermite was present in the steel. They had some steel samples. A lot of that was shipped off to China, which was wrong. That was a crime scene, but most of the steel was immediately shipped off to China. But some of it was present, and the scientists were able to take it to the labs and investigate it. And they found sulfate and thermate, which was indicative of an explosion, a large explosion in the steel. So that article is also at Infowars.com. So some really strong, compelling evidence is coming out now. So I encourage you to look into 911. And I think with the movie coming out this year, we're going to have a revelation, actually, and a cleaning up of our government, actually. And then the other story, just as we wind down, is, of course, we've got a president really pushing hard right now for amnesty for 12 to 20 illegal aliens in our country, and really not concerned at all with border security, just wanting this amnesty. And a lot of people are confused by this, but if you study the history of a politics like I do, and I produce DVDs on the subject, and if you go to the main website, click on Odyssey, that's my show, and the DVDs will pop up there. And this idea of a new world order or a one world government, you can trace it back to 1776. There was a group with Adam Weishaupt, they called it the Illuminati, and they wanted a new world order. And there's been this push for the past couple hundred years behind the scenes. Now, groups have been created, like the Council on Foreign Relations. It's really important that you understand the CFR and who they are and what they're doing. They started in the 1920s as the League of Nations, and that kind of fell apart. The world wasn't ready for a one-world government, and I don't think it still is, by the way. And so in the 1940s, the CFR was up and running again, and they created the United Nations in 1947. And if you read their documents and their journals, they're always talking about merging nations. In the 1970s, they really worked hard in Europe, and they consolidated about 35 countries in Europe into the European Union. So it's already occurred in that part of the world. And if you talk to people in Europe, they were sold basically that it was a trade agreement. They weren't told that it would be this giant political machine, and a lot of them are pretty angry about it. They've lost a lot of their local representation. So if you have friends in France or England, call them and talk to them about it, because most of them voted for it because they thought it was a trade agreement. Now, in the U.S., they're trying to do the same thing. In 1993, they passed NAFTA, and that was a free trade agreement. Well, what's happened since 93 is a lot of our good factory jobs where people could make $20 an hour right out of high school are gone. They've vanished. They've gone to other countries. So we're outsourcing jobs like crazy for the past 14 years, and we're insourcing migrants or cheap labor, actually, to take jobs away from the middle class. So it's a horrendous combination. It's really hurting the middle class very hard. That's why people are having such a hard time making it nowadays. So what happened in the last few weeks was mind-blowing, because the people rose up and they called their senators, and they actually blocked the amnesty in early June. The senators thought it was going to sail right through. And the American public rose up and they called their senators and they said, we don't want this. This isn't right. We are in favor of legal immigration. If you want to go through the legal proper channels, that's fine. You apply in your country and you go through a process. And but if you just come in here on your own and you get a social security card that somebody else has and use false identities, that's not right. Most Americans don't believe that's right. So even though the bill failed a few years ago, they're bringing it back tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big day. They're really going to try to open it up again. So if you've never called your senator in your life, call them tomorrow. Find out who your two U.S. senators are in your state and call them and tell them to no, we don't want debate on this bill anymore. It was drafted in secret, and this is improper. This is not what America is about. We're about law-abiding citizens and following the rule of law, and we already have a legal immigration system that's very generous, actually. We allow 1 million people in a year. We have a very generous system, the most generous in the world. And this is not right to just suddenly put 12 million new people into our in a pathway to citizenship, and they will need, of course, all kinds of benefits that we are going to have to pay for. So this is what they're trying to do, is merge Mexico, the Canada, and the U.S. together into a giant North American union. And they've already accomplished part of the task, actually. So this would mean no more constitution and no more Bill of Rights. We would simply be an economic zone with a board of governors from the Central America up to the Arctic zone. It would just be a big, giant economic zone, like they have done in Europe, actually. So this is the push. This is the fight, is if you want America to remain an independent, sovereign nation, you really have to let your senators and your congressmen know about it right now, actually. You really have to get involved. There's a good website called numbersusa.com. If you go to that site, they can really help you, let you know what's going on in Congress on this issue. It's numbersusa.com. I'll say it one more time, numbersusa.com. So like I said, tomorrow is a big day. We'll see if this amnesty bill does come back. Now, in Texas, they're already building superhighways. They're taking people's land away from them, and they're really pushing forward with these NAFTA superhighways. And this would really hurt the trucking industry in the United States, actually. A lot of U.S. truckers would lose their jobs, and they would goods would come in right from China to Central America, and truckers would take them right into the U.S., actually. And we don't know what would be in those trucks, if it's drugs or weapons or Al-Qaeda or people that are illegal. We wouldn't know. It would be an open highway. And it's a massive project, and they're really fighting it. Those of you in my audience in Texas, you know what I'm talking about, this NAFTA superhighway. So this is what's going on behind the scenes. This is what they're not telling you. Tomorrow, I can guarantee you, the news is all going to be about some celebrity, Paris Hilton, getting out of jail. Well, I know nothing about that, and that's another world. That's a story that should not be in the news at all, and it's simply a smokescreen. And like I said, the big story tomorrow is this this illegal immigration bill. So please watch that bill carefully. And if you want the U.S. to remain an independent, sovereign nation, you have to get involved politically. And I'll leave you with one more thing. The Rockefeller family has always been very involved in the Council on Foreign Relations. And David Rockefeller has a very famous quote. He stood up at one meeting at the CFR, and he said, "I really want to thank Time Magazine and Newsweek Magazine and all the media outlets for letting us put together a one world government, a new world order in private. I want to thank you for not alerting the public and keeping it secret." He actually says that. You can look up that quote. And that's pretty much what they've done. Now, if you want to know who's in the CFR, it's a private group. It's not publicly elected at all. But I'll tell you this. They have complete access to television. Every time you watch NBC, ABC, or CBS, or Fox, and they want an expert, they call in an expert from the Council on Foreign Relations. How many times have you heard that phrase on television? And a few years ago, they were all on there telling us why we should go to war in Iraq, and they were convincing the American public. And they also have complete access to the newspapers, and they write all these editorials. It's the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, guess who's in it? The mainstream media is in it. Barbara Walters, CFR. Diane Sawyer, CFR. Ted Koppel, CFR. Tom Brokaw, CFR. Dan Rather, CFR. As well as people like Condoleezza Rice, CFR. Gary Hart, CFR. Colin Powell, CFR. George Bush Sr., CFR, etc. Just anyone who's really anyone powerful in politics is in this private group. And yet, your basic American walking down the street has no idea who the Council on Foreign Relations is and what they're doing and what their agenda is. So they're a rogue group that operates outside government, and yet they have total access to the media and government to do whatever they want. And in the 1960s, they really pushed the Vietnam War with Robert McNamara, too. He was CFR. And they really were instrumental in getting us into Vietnam as well as Iraq, like I mentioned. So the CFR, their big push right now is merging Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. together, whether we like it or not. And it's, you know, if they want to do it and they want us to openly vote on it, that's fine. If we all agree to that openly, that's fine, but that's not what's happening. It's all going on behind the scenes. So I will leave you with that. Join numbersusa.com. get involved in this issue, and we need to have a safe and sane immigration policy, which we already have, and let's stop this merger that's going on behind our backs. So anyway, I really appreciate you joining the Odyssey program this week, and I will see you next Monday. Everybody, take care. Thanks for joining Odyssey. Good night.